Tonight on PBS Independent Lens, we'll be airing a documentary called The Revisionaries. It's about the war over textbooks in Texas, specifically how citizens have been protesting the decisions to include conservative ideas in textbooks that some say are not entirely factual. Here's a clip from the movie.
How can the Texas Board of Education have the power to change textbooks really all over the entire country? Why does this matter to the rest of us?
Texas and California, the two biggest textbook purchasers in the country, whatever textbooks they select, the rest of the country follows.
I would like to strike the words women and minority.
A motion to insert the name Hussein in between Barack Obama.
I would like to delete hip-hop and insert country music.
Is there a second?
If you want to control and shape the politics of a state, controlling and shaping what students learn in public schools from age 5 through age 18 is a really, really smart strategy.
In 2010, journalist Trey Kay made a documentary about another textbook war, one that happened in West Virginia in the 1970s. It's a battleground that many considered one of the first culture wars in America. Trey Kay joins us now from Red Hook, New York. So Trey, when you, in your documentary, you detail how when you went to school as a kid, there were people kind of picketing outside of the school buses with signs that says, you know, we don't want these dirty books. What did that mean exactly?
The protesters were just inside the gate of the school where I attended. It was what they meant was that these were pretty much fundamentalist Christian mothers who were concerned that there was information in the books that was sexually explicit, that would have had language that what they would have thought was bad or dirty language. But then they also were concerned about information that would have they would have considered anti-Christian and certainly un-American, and that would have marginalized or diminished the importance of Christianity.
What kind of books are we talking about specifically? Like what authors were being targeted?
You've probably heard of like banned books lists that we have here in the States, you know, everything from The Crucible by Arthur Miller or Catcher in the Rye. And those books were books that were protested by some of these parents. In particular, they were textbooks. Really, I mean, we were in Appalachia, in very white Appalachia, but these textbooks were addressed to appeal to students who were in rural urban areas where there would have been a population of students of color who at that time, this was the early 1970s, and the curriculum would have been designed in the late 1960s. This was designed to address students who were black and Hispanic, who they seemed to think that with regard to reading were just falling behind their white counterparts. And so these books were geared to address them in a way kind of like what we saw happening with the Children's Television Workshop. This textbook controversy in West Virginia happened just about 4 or 5 years after we introduced Sesame Street, where you had Sesame Street kind of set in an urban setting where you had not only black, white, Hispanic, and Asian people walking on the streets and communicating, they also had monsters and little Muppets and stuff like that. So Sesame Street was a very multicultural area, and these books were designed from a multicultural pedagogical philosophy.
So in West Virginia at the time, there was a lot of resistance to kind of this idea of multicultural books and books that made children of a certain age start to question authority. How did things spiral out of control in West Virginia?
In the first proposed books, there would have been essays by people like Eldridge Cleaver, Malcolm X. So these issues, which were pretty much happening in society at the time, they were brought into the classroom. This was not a social studies course. These were reading courses, in literature courses. The protesters were objecting to this kind of political discourse being introduced into a classroom where basically you're supposed to be looking at or learning how to read. Some people complained that stories that engaged in some of the hot button social issues were moving classics, you know, the Shakespeare and the, you know, great English literature and all that stuff was being moved aside for more of this radical literature. Now, going back to the other part of your question is how did this challenge of authority play out in West Virginia? What is really interesting is that the people who did most of the protesting at the time, these were working class. Many of them had strongly held fundamentalist Christian beliefs. And probably, this is 1974, several years before, these are the people who Richard Nixon would have called, you know, his great silent majority. These people did not protest the Vietnam War. These people were good, law-abiding citizens who were concerned about what they thought was the radicalism of the counterculture revolution at that time. They are probably one of the first examples of people from the conservative side engaging in an active protest, in a protest that would have been similar to the civil rights protests of Martin Luther King. In most of the cases, they were peaceful protests, but there were examples where there was violence. There were schools that were firebombed. Some were bombed by dynamite. There were several incidents where guns were trained on school buses. They were sniped at. There was a person at one protest who was shot literally through the heart, and he survived. This type of turbulence happened, and this was probably, based on the research that I've done, the most turbulent protest over curriculum or textbooks that has ever happened in the nation. And there's been some turbulent protests, but this is the most violent.
Wow. Yeah, you're telling me.
Subsequent to the textbook war, it had a profound impact on education and how textbooks were published. At the time when they were developing the textbooks that were controversial in West Virginia, I think that there was an emphasis on academics to develop curriculum for schools. They would go to some place like Columbia University's Teacher College and say, hey, you wonderful academic expert, we want to figure out new and wonderful ways for how to teach children reading. How can we engage these children in a way that we have not been doing for several decades? And the publisher would say to this wonderful educator, you develop this curriculum and we'll publish it. Well, after West Virginia, when that wonderful academic made that curriculum, this person was seen as an elitist who was holding a liberal leftist agenda that was trying to indoctrinate the whole nation. At that point, I think textbook publishers said, you know, I don't think that we don't need controversies. What we need to do is we need to sell and market our teaching materials. And so then I think things changed kind of to the way they are now, where when you develop textbooks, they're developed in a way where things are developed by committee.
Well, moving ahead to today, recently we've seen a lot of controversy about textbooks in Texas particularly, and there's a documentary airing on PBS tonight about that subject. You've been studying Texas. It seems like the script has been flipped, so to speak, in that instead of more conservative people arguing that the textbooks are radicalizing children, now there are arguments about textbooks that are more tailored, it would seem, to a conservative ideology. Does that seem right?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting in West Virginia when I was interviewing one of the protesters, one of the fundamentalist ministers who was protesting the textbooks in Kanawha County, West Virginia. He basically claimed that felt that the Board of Education in the county were a bunch of condescending cultural elitists looking down their noses at these kind of poor working class people with fundamentalist Christian ideas. And you're right. I think in Texas, the complaint is just the opposite. It seems as though the people who have these fundamentalist ideals, many of them probably since the 1990s, although it goes back probably since the 1990s, more and more of these people have gotten positions on the Texas State Board of Education. It has gotten to the point now where the tables have turned and there are more people who are from the conservative Christian point of view that need to be reckoned with regard to the types of curricular materials are purchased.
Trey, I'd love to talk to you about this for as long as we could, but unfortunately I've got to let you go. Trey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can find a link to Trey's radio documentary from Virginia Public Radio on our website, will.illinois.edu, and please watch The Revisionaries tonight on PBS Independent Lens.